Welcome
Overtime back. Live on 94.3 Winx FM.
Welcome back to Doc's Downtown Grill post-game show. Join us at Doc's Downtown Grill on Monday from 6 to 7 for the Passport to Paradise ticket drop. Somebody's going to win a pair of tickets to our Bon Voyage party this Thursday night. And who knows, maybe you will win that trip Thursday night to go to St. Thomas for a week. Yeah, we're going to be at Doc's Centerville on Wednesday from 6 to 7 as well. Coach Jay Coleman finishing up some other duties. He'll be with us here momentarily. Mike Bradley back in the Edge Training Academy studios. Mike, why don't you go ahead and give us that Perret & Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard.
All right, no problem, Mark. Happy to do that. Earlier tonight, we had three 6 o'clock kickoffs down on the lower shore. Kent Island defeating Stephen Decatur 52-0. Kent Island improving to 4-0. Decatur dropping to 0-4. Queen Anne's falling to Sussex Central out of Delaware's Henlopen Conference over Georgetown, Delaware. The final score 29-14. Queen Anne's first loss of the year. They're 3-1. Sussex Central at 2-1. North Carolina winners over Wicomico 33-6. Carolina improving to 3-1. Wicomico now 1-3. Easton over J.M. Bennett 31-7. Easton now 3-1. Bennett 2-2. Cambridge, of course, defeating Kent County tonight 42-20. Cambridge now 3-1. Kent County 2-2. Parkside 42-0 shutout of Colonel Richardson. Parkside 3-1. Colonel 1-3. Washington over Snowhill 48-6. Washington now 2-2 on the year, and Snowhill dropping to 0-4.
It's going to be interesting, Mike, when you look at the playoff situation. And I know we're only in week number three, but in a 1A in particular, somebody from the Bayside here. Hey, we've got Coach Jay Coleman with us here in the Edge Training Academy press box. And, Coach, congratulations, a big win.
Yeah, thank you. It was a crazy game. Cambridge-Kent, that's the only way you can explain it. Well, Cambridge-Kent.
You know, it's funny because we started off talking down 14-0.
Yeah.
I said, this is not the Cambridge team that I saw in the first half against North Carolina.
Yeah.
You're down
it's sloppy.
It was very sloppy.
Yeah.
Down 14-0.
Yeah.
But then you guys come back,
yeah. You
score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Then that onside kick from Harding was perfectly placed.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just amazing.
Yeah.
Does he practice that?
He does.
Okay.
Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. Absolutely he does. We had a game plan coming in.
You get down by 14 and then come back?
No, we had a game plan coming in. And, you know, obviously you want to try to keep the ball away from Marquand.
Right.
I mean, that's no secret.
Right.
And, we're trying to play aggressively and stuff. But at the same time, we were trying to be conservative. And they just came out and they punched us in the mouth. You know, we turned the ball over four times on fourth down. You know, we kicked the ball into the back of the running back. We punted right in the butt. We looked really bad there. They were poorly coached. What we had is a substitution right before that play.
Right.
And that's just, you know, that's a case of the next guy getting up has just, you know, he's got to know what his job was. And,
right.
We had a little bit of a mistake there. But the two fumbles, the one on the fumble snap, you know, the one where we fumbled on the toss, that's not really like us.
Right.
And then looking back at it, we're like, man, we felt like they were good play calls. We just, you know, made a mistake. Yeah. And then at halftime, you know, we joined, you know, last year's comeback victory gave us a lot of confidence going into, you know, when we were down, you know, I tried to stay calm. And Trey Lacek, one of our leaders, he stays calm. And we just, you know, at halftime we got in there and said, look, we played terrible, you know, in the first half, and it's a tie game. Okay, so you may be feeling really bad about yourself, but, you know, They just watched you play terrible, and they're going in and it's tied up. So, you know, we got a lot of momentum going into the second half.
Did you know going in to the locker room at the half that you were going to receive the second half kickoff?
No.
What'd you think when that happened? You're like, thank God I go in.
You know what I thought? I thought it's payback because 2 years ago, right here on the same field, and you can ask Brendan, we did the same thing. We gave them the ball twice. And everything.
We were here for that.
Yes,
right.
Yes. So you know what I'm like? We're even now. So let's not mess it up. Tell his guys don't mess it up. We won't mess it up. Because I know he probably was having a heart attack just like I was, you know, then. But hey, the guys did an excellent job in the second half. We tightened up our assignments. That's what we talked about at halftime. Hey, just tighten up. You know, you see the offense now. It was so tough, Mark, to get ready this week because we didn't know. Quarterback going to play, you know, is 12 going to play the Johnson kid?
Right.
They did not. I mean, they even dressed him.
Yeah.
The only reason we knew he wasn't playing because he was wearing Jordan.
Right.
You know, he was in full uniform but was wearing Jordan. So we're like, I don't think he's going to wear those. And
right.
So we're like, all right, so we definitely
know. They're too nice to wear on the field.
Yeah. So we were kind of prepared for, We were prepared for what they ran against Queen Anne's, and then we got prepared for what they've done the last 2 weeks. And you really can't prepare, you know, for the type of athlete that Green is. And
Let's talk about a couple of things in the game. I think the turning point for them was when the Phillips kid went out, and I thought he was done.
What number is that?
Number five.
Okay.
When Silas Phillips went out, I thought he was done for the game because he got up and wobbled 3 yards before gathering himself.
Nice player.
Yeah, very good player. Quick off the edge, was good defending that toss on you guys.
Yeah.
And when he went out, you started getting the edge more.
Yeah. I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, when I was talking to James, you know, as we started to kind of, you know, have some injuries or have some cramping and different issues in the second half, they were like, all right, we're gonna test out. We're gonna test that next guy out,
right?
And everything. So yeah, obviously, you know, we're trying to.
Let's talk about Trey Lake. My goodness, your workhorse tonight, five touchdowns, 250 yards almost. Just a great effort from him tonight.
Yeah. And you know what? If you talk to him, he's gonna tell you what a great job the offensive line did. You know how great they were making adjustments, and he'll probably even talk about, you know, our running backs coach, Coach Simmons, and Coach Coleman, that both have been working with him in all season. You know, Coach Simmons for the last 4 years, and you know, hard work pays off.
It absolutely does. In fact, Trey Lake is our Sport Clips MVP. I don't know what his hair situation is, but now
have you seen his hair? He looks like a Raggedy Ann.
Well, he can go get those things cut off now.
You know what? I'm gonna make sure he gets that.
That's right.
I'll make sure he gets that.
He gets the MVP experience, which is the hot towel, the head massage, the shampoo.
Are you doing it?
Heck no, I'm not doing it.
All
right. The fine folks from Sport Club.
Oh, okay.
They got a Cambridge location coming soon, but he can save until then or go to Easton at this point, or Salisbury, or Kent Island.
How about you, a barber?
No, I'm not. You don't want me cutting your hair or my hair.
Did you stop by Emily's Produce?
I did not. I didn't. I know you were listening to this.
Your
morning.
Wife said she wanted them pumpkin donuts.
I know she did.
Morning.
I know she did, but you know what? It's good that we got here tonight. And if I could have made it there tonight, if you wouldn't have taken so damn long. And
Emily's Produce is one of our sponsors, too. You believe that?
I thought North Carolina, Houston was the longest game we'd ever done.
Yeah.
You took that honor tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we are, 3 hours and 4 minutes into this broadcast.
Yeah.
So,
it was a wild one.
It was. Next week you have an end to it.
Yes.
So, obviously a pretty good, a formidable opponent.
Yeah. I was very surprised seeing a little bit of an end to it the first couple weeks. I was very surprised. You know, I don't know what Bennett did tonight. I think Ben is much improved.
They lost season.
Well, I was very surprised that Bennett just whooped them because, gosh, Nandu is so big. They were big last year when we played them. They just were young last year. So, you know, this is definitely going to be a formidable matchup, and, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Well, good luck next week. Thanks for the hospitality tonight.
What'd you
think? This place is great. I love your new box. Dotson's great. Your concession stand treats us well. We love it here.
Next year, you're gonna have TV screens here and everything.
Really?
Yeah. So you might have to stop covering as many North Carolina games and Kent Island and Queen Anne. You might have to come here a few more times.
Well, you know what? We would do that. In fact, we're looking for a game next week. I got to do a presser from Aruba from 2 to 5. Last time I went to Nandua was with Easton. We were broadcasting Easton High School football games.
Yeah.
Jody Ward was the coach at Nandua. I mean, at Easton.
Oh, yeah.
And we went down there, and I remember this game, Spence and I calling it, and we said, what Ward needs here, he wants a 4-minute and 40-some-second drive that ends in a touchdown. Butler was the offensive coordinator, and he was your official on your sideline.
I know. What goes around comes around. Hey, listen, I want you to do me a favor, and I won't say it, you know, because we're on the radio, but I want you to ask Jody about when I saw him in New York City this summer. That's all you got to do. If he's listening, he's going to break red.
Look at that. Now the concession stand still bringing us fruit. Pretzels, hot dogs, popcorn.
Yeah.
They must have heard me say earlier, get your popcorn, Mom. We got a ball game when y'all came back.
Yeah. Hey, but I think Kent County is outstanding. You know, obviously with the injury that they had this week, that was tough for them to overcome. And, you know, I know that, you know, we're going to see him again. And
Mike's telling me we got to go. He wants to have the
Let you go.
He wants to have the show back in his
you know how Mike is.
Yeah, I know. There's no doubt about that. But
he'll probably badmouth us about our schedule again.
Jody Ward just hung up. He was actually calling me.
Oh, no.
He's
a scary guy. Oh, my God. I should have said that.
All right, Coach. Congratulations on the win.
All right, thank you.
Coach Jake Coleman from Cambridge, South Dorchester. 42-20 the score tonight. They beat King County. Yeah, I'll have to talk to Jody and get more on that story. That'll be a good one. Coach, that's going to do it for us tonight. Mike Bradley's back in the studio. the Edge Training Academy studios. He's going to be talking to all the coaches from across the Bayside next. Congratulations to the Vikings. Mike Bradley, take it away on 94.3 Wings FM and sfmsports.net.
WINX St. Michael's.
We're not ready to go yet. Is there any way you can send this thing into overtime?
Yeah.
No problem. I don't know what he was looking at, but we're going into overtime.
Thank you, Mark Potter. I've only been up since 3 a.m. this morning, doing a morning show beginning at 5 a.m. That's all right. I'll get some sleep. I only have to be back here at 8 tomorrow morning next door. All right, 10:07 on the OTL. What a game. It had everything. That's for darn sure. Touchdowns. We had a kickoff return for a touchdown. We had an interception return for a touchdown, 100 yards. We had an onside kick that was recovered. We had a squib kick that was recovered. We had penalties, a ton of them. Ejections, cramps, a lost football. You name it, it happened in Cambridge and Kent County tonight. But Cambridge coming out to victor 42-20. And this was a game where Kent County looked very determined to come in and get a win. And they played that way, going up 14-0 early. But Cambridge will respond with a touchdown. And then they recovered that onside kick, and everything changed from there. But you hand it to Kent County. They battled in this game big time. But it wasn't enough. And special teams, the defense hurt them. Marquand Green subbing a quarterback, but it's not necessarily a bad thing for them. He displays all his talents, running, throwing. So that, not something that I think hurt them. Actually, I think it helped them. And Kent County head coach Brendan Ironton told me last week right here under the OTL that Kent County was looking to, you know, hit Cambridge in the mouth and win physically. Forget the finesse style of play. That's the way they were going to attack this game. And you know what? Early on, it's exactly what they did. And it's so tough to contain Marquand Green, Offensive Player of the Year last year, well, along with Stevie Curran, the Kent County quarterback. But now it's Marquand's show, 110%. And you know, a quarterback for the Trojans, he's a guy that presents a lot of issues for a defense and gave certainly Cambridge a lot of issues tonight. But Cambridge was able to overcome that. A couple of fourth down stops, too, but way too many turnovers. It's rare that a team can turn over the ball that many times when a Coach Coleman say four and still win a game and win it by 22 points. That speaks highly of Cambridge, but there's a lot to clean up for the Vikings, who play at Nandua, as you heard next week. And I'm not as enthralled with Nandua as some folks are. I know Coach was talking about their size, but yeah, Nandua coming in against Bennett last week. The reason they lost is because the combined record of all the teams they played going into that game was 0-9. Yeah. Bennett took care of them at home. Anyway, not focusing on that, but Cambridge getting the win 3-1, winners over Kent County. And that's a big win for a couple of different reasons. Cambridge and Kent County battling it out for seeding in the 1A East. And both at 2-1. Well, now one's 3-1, the other's 2-2. Curtis Richardson fell tonight, but Perryville got a big win over 2A Hartford Tech. So they're in the conversation now. Remember, there's only a seven-team 1A East because of some schools that did away with their football program this year. There was some shifting around the state. So there's only seven teams in the 1A East. The top four go to the playoffs. So there's a tight race there just from a numbers perspective that almost everybody has a shot. So tonight, a big game. I don't think there's any question Cambridge is getting in. But the seeding was the question, and Kent County now finds himself behind Cambridge in that one. I have to check the Bow Manor score to see if they won tonight. I believe they did. Bow Manor also 2-1 coming into this week. All right, your Pret & Moy Therapy scoreboard update here for you. Pret & Moy Therapy right there in the AAMC building at Kent Island. And Queen Anne's, they get their first loss of the year, 29-14, the final, excuse me. They dropped to 3-1. Sussex Central improves to 2-1. A very sloppy game for Queen Anne's. Offensively, very poor in the first half. They just could not get it done. Defensively, early on, they did a pretty good job. That wasn't the issue. But as the second quarter rolled along and then the rest of the game, Central was able to get some big plays and they win. And the Lions are certainly will tip their cap to Sussex Central, but I think they'll come away saying, look, it's one thing to lose, but it's another thing to lose when we clearly didn't play our best game, and that's what happened tonight. Kent Island, 52-0 winners over Stephen Decatur. They're the lone 4-0 team left in the Bayside North. And I can tell you, though, I'm not likely to switch my rankings of 1 and 2 because Stephen Decatur, the competition for them compared to Sussex Central, not even close. Not that, that's Kent Island's fault, but I'm not going to penalize the Lions for playing a tough non-conference team. And Kent Island playing Stephen Decatur tonight, although Kent Island did have a nice win against Elkton, who's now 3-1. So they're close. They're very close, no question. But I still think Queen Anne's has a better passing game all-around team than Kent Island does. But you know, Kent Island fans could argue with me on that one, that maybe they should be number one coming into this week. And that's fair. You could argue that. North Carolina defeating Wicomico 33-6. North Carolina improving to 3-1. And with Queen Anne's loss tonight, that certainly helps now in the 2A East. At Hartford Tech, they lost. They were upset by Perryville, who I just mentioned, a 1A beating a 2A. Perryville came in at 0-3. They defeated Hartford Tech, who was 2-1. So that 2A East is a lot more crowded, but that loss helps along with Queen Anne. So North Carolina, after losing a tough one to Kent Island last week, they're right back in it. Easton, they improved to 3-1. 31-7 winners over J.M. Bennett. It was a good litmus test game again for Bennett, but I think we all felt that Easton was the better team, and they showed it tonight. Cambridge, as you just heard, 42-20 winners over Kent County. Parkside improving to 3-1. Another 2A East team to make things crowded. 42-0 winners over Colonel. This game wasn't close. Colonel's now 1-3. Washington winners over Snow Hill, 48-6. Washington now with two wins. They could be that fourth seed in the 1A East. We'll have to see. Although the Perryville win tonight doesn't help them. Yeah, Snow Hill does not have a shot. We know that. They're 0-4. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk to as many coaches as we can around the Bayside. But given the late hour, the Cambridge-Kent County game here, our overtime live Friday night late game of the week, went nearly 4 hours. I think about 3 hours and 50 minutes, and then we had postgame. But so it is. So it is. And Cambridge the winner, 42-20. It's a lot more exciting game, at least in the first half, than, to be honest, I expected it to be. All right, timeout. We'll talk to the coaches next. It's the OTL 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net.
Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8044.
Turn to Chesapeake College and discover the Eastern Shore's newest programs for today's hottest careers. From landscape design and Maryland's first associate degree in agriculture to new one-semester EMT certificate, start or grow your career here. Low-cost classes and convenient locations make Chesapeake the right choice to get ahead. Fall classes begin August 22nd. Enroll today. Visit chesapeake.edu or call 410-822-5400. That's 410-822-5400. Your time, your place. Chesapeake College.
From the Queen Anne's County Lions to the Cambridge South Dorchester Vikings, we have football covered in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 10:15 is the time. And joining us on the coaches line, head coach James McCormick of the North Carolina Bulldogs, who improved to 3-1 tonight. Winners over Wicomico by a final score of 33-6. And coach, I got a lot to talk to you about here, because let's go back a couple of weeks now. I saw the quote in the paper when you guys defeated Cambridge, and you had said that for all those to pick against us next week again, I just want you to know, coach, that I picked the Bulldogs in that game over Cambridge. So just to let you know, you had a friendly media friend there, at least for that week.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad you have faith in us.
I certainly did. I know last week, obviously, that was a tough game, and Mark talked to you about that after the game. When were you guys able to kind of put that aside? Did that still kind of linger throughout the week of practice, or did you put that aside come Monday?
That's a tough one where you try to put it aside, talk about moving on, but it's still kind of lingering there until you actually get another game under your belt. I think tonight helps that a little bit.
Yeah, and most certainly. You know, taking a look at that game, I was wondering, certainly the Walkersville loss last year stings, and that sticks. So I was just wondering, I guess that had a somewhat similar feeling. The good news is you didn't have to wait an entire offseason. You just had to wait another week before you played another game.
Yeah, that was the good news. We could show up on Monday and go back to work and, hopefully get things moving in the right direction. I think we did that tonight. Kids played real well tonight. Got some solid wins.
Now, you have to feel really good in the fact that I know it. I had texted you as well with the 2A East. It's a crowded, crazy situation, which makes it really interesting that we've got, you know, meaningful games, a must-win games in weeks 2, 3, and 4 of the season with Easton and Parkside being much more relevant teams this year than they have in years past. But tonight, as I made mention to you, some upsets that took place, or an upset that took place. Perryville, the defeated Hartford Tech. They were winless coming in. They defeated 2-1 Hartford Tech team that was in there, the 2A East. Elkton wins tonight. That doesn't help matters. But then Queen Anne's, though, they lose on the road to a tough non-conference foe in Sussex Central. So it kind of makes up, though, for last week's loss to Kent Island.
Well, I don't know if anything makes up for that, but it helps a little bit. I tell you, it's like you said, it's kind of jumbled up there in the 2A East, and it's going to be a heck of a second half of the season with teams matching up and getting to those big wins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think here with Overtime Live. I mean, probably been 10 years or so, but I don't remember talking about must-win games or games that were so important in weeks, again, 2, 3, and 4, like we have this year, which is a good thing for the Bayside. I know that doesn't make your job any easier as a coach, though. You have enough stress.
No, it makes it tough every week. You know, we keep looking for those little breaks in the schedule, and they just don't seem like they're coming. So, hey, it's a good thing for the Bayside. It's a good thing for football on the Eastern Shore. We got some good teams, a lot of exciting games for fans to watch and listen to, and, it should be fun.
All right, Coach, let's talk about the game tonight. You guys get out to an early, I believe, 13-0 lead in this one. Tay Potts with a couple of touchdowns. I know that he was taken to a local hospital as a precautionary measure with a knee injury potentially. Can you give us any more information on him?
Tay got banged up in the first half. There's a knee injury, and, hopefully we'll get him in get somebody to look at it on Monday and kind of go from there. We're hoping it's not too bad, but yeah, you never know.
Okay. Well, we certainly wish him well, and we'll follow up certainly with that. But he contributes early on to the game. But, of course, you've got depth at that position. Thankfully, David Bailey, of course, a beast, and he scores a couple of touchdowns tonight as well. Cody Pepper tosses him a touchdown pass. But your strength, obviously, your running game and your backs, and they get it done tonight in good fashion.
Yeah, our motto for the week, our focus is doing the little things, winning games, and moving your feet, staying on your blocks, all those little things that are fundamentally sound. So that's what we preached all week. I think we did a very good job of that first half.
And, Coach, defensively tonight, obviously keeping Y High to just one touchdown, a very solid effort there. And, last week against Kent Island, I mean, they held them to just a couple of touchdowns, but that's something that you can lean on the road. And obviously you were able to do that tonight, but the offense also stepped up in great fashion. But talk about your defensive effort tonight.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, defense played outstanding tonight. Playing against Y High, it's an option football team, and there's not a whole lot of schools on the shore to play options, so it's tough to prepare when you're not used to seeing it week in and week out. And, everybody's got to do their job. Option football is responsibility football. You got guys in the fullback, guys in the quarterback, guys on the pitch. And if one person makes a mistake, it can hurt you. And tonight, fortunately, our guys played their tails off. And, did a great job and really, really, except for about one play, shut down that option from a pretty decent Y High team.
I was going to ask you, how tough a task is it to prepare for Y High? They run the triple options you talked about. Really no other Bayside team runs that. I think the last time that it was run, Parkside, in 2007, when offensive coordinator Brendan Riley ran it.
Yeah, I tell you, it's tough just because, it's different. You don't see it every week, and you want to try to stay as close to your base defense as normally can. And, sometimes it's tough. You got to make some adjustments and try some different things and hope the kids pick it up fast. And our guys did a great job up front. Our front five and the linebackers were just you know, they were getting after the fullback, quarterback, quarterback kid from Y High. He's going to have some bumps and bruises tomorrow because he's taking some shots. But he was a tough kid, kept getting after it. And, you know, our kids played great.
And granted, it is week four, so it's not exactly early in the season, but I guess it's better to face a triple option team like that first half of the year as compared to late in the year, because you would assume that as they build that offense, they'll be a lot more comfortable and they'll add to the plays as the season goes along. So playing them in, say, week nine, different than playing them in week four.
Absolutely. You know, you could see just from game one to game four how much better Y-High's gotten, how more comfortable they've got with that option offense. And yeah, they're going to keep getting better. So I'm glad we got them week four, like I said, not week nine, because I think that's going to be a whole different ballgame.
Coach, who do you have on the slate next week?
Stephen Decatur.
Okay, and Stephen Decatur tonight, they were beat by Kent Island 52-0, and obviously they're going through some tough times. They lost some players. Head coach Bob Knox not there this year, but you always know that they're going to at least play hard, and for that, you know, you tip your cap. But a game that, is that on the road or at home?
It's at home. We get them up in Ridgely, so that'll be a big help to us. There's a great crowd, and, you know, it's exciting, and our kids, you know, kind of get jacked up for that. But, look, Decatur's going to be a well-coached team. Stan Griffith is, you know, taking over down there for Bobby for this year, and, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to Bobby and his family, his grandson. But Stan's going to do a good job, and I know they took kind of a whooping this week, but they're going to be ready to play next week, and they'll be well-coached.
And, Coach, just quickly, and again, I know that with North Carolina that the run game is front and center, but talk about 4 weeks through, a new quarterback this year in Cody Pepper. He had a touchdown pass tonight. Do you like his development, and where do you think he's at right now?
He's getting there. He's slowly getting there. But, yeah, we're working every day practice, and we're trying to get more comfortable with what we do and how we do it. Not put too much on his plate where he feels like he has to carry a lot of burden, but you know, we need him to play, and we need him to make some plays during the games, and he's starting to do that. He's getting better. He makes good decisions tonight. I think probably the best decision he made tonight was to throw the ball away because the play we called just wasn't there. So he got rid of the ball rather than trying to force it, make an interception, or take a sack. He made a smart move and just dump the ball when nobody could get to it. I think that's showing growth, and you know, I'm hoping he's going to continue to grow and evolve.
Very good. Well, Coach, as always, thanks for your time, and best wishes next week. Of course, we'll talk to you after the game. And just remember, I picked you against Cambridge. I picked you against Kent Island last week. And, you know, you let me down a little bit there. But we'll.
I'm a little upset about that. Myself,
I know. But we're back in the win column, so that's a good thing. Well, Coach, thank you so much, and we'll talk next week.
Thanks,
all right, take care. That's head coach James McCormick of the North Carolina Bulldogs. 10:24 on the OTL. Love having a little fun with Coach there. You know, what I've done over the last couple of weeks with the OvertimeLive.net blogs that I do with the What We Learned segment that comes out usually on Monday or Tuesday, usually comes out on Tuesday, with the Easton decision to go for two against North Carolina, with North Carolina's decision to kick the field goal over going for it on fourth down against Kent Island. All I've done is really just present the facts coming into that play and who had done what in the game, previous weeks, etc., and just kind of lay out all the scenarios and facts and say, well, here's what the coaches had to choose from, and you know, here's why they did it potentially or why they didn't do it, etc. And that's the best, that's, I think, the best you could do. I've been there before as a coach and player, and it is easy to be second-guessed with that. But, yeah, Coach is right. I don't know that you get that Kent Island loss out of your system, and certainly with seeding or if there's a tie, that hurts. But tonight, though, with Queen Anne's losing, with Hartford Tech losing to Perryville, that certainly helps with those two teams who are both 2-1 in the 2A East. However, Easton and Parkside both winners tonight, so they improve their records to 3-1. North Carolina, of course, 3-1 as well. Elkton winning tonight as well. So they're 3-1. At 2A East is quite crowded, to say the least. All right, we're back with more. 10:25, it's the OTL. 94.3 Winks FM at sfmsports.net.
The Bayside Youth Football League has reached its midseason point. The Dorchester Vikings improved to 4-0 in both the 9U and 13U divisions on Saturday after posting 38-0 and 36-7 wins over South Carolina. At the 11U level, South Carolina's Mustangs evened their record to 2-2 and moved into a tie with Dorchester after beating the Vikings 13-0. There's a three-way tie for second in the 13U division after the Caroline Cougars beat Kent County 18-13. Caroline, Kent, and Talbot all sit at 2-2 behind the 4-0 Vikings. Caroline beat Kent 28-20 in 9U, while Kent took the 11U game by the score of 34-0. More Bayside Youth Football tomorrow. We'll continue to update you throughout the season with this Bayside Youth Football update on 94.3 Winks FM at sfmsports.net.
Here's what your friends and neighbors are saying about Higginbottom Orthodontics.
The doctors and their staff are amazing, always pleasant and professional, and explain everything thoroughly to my children. It's obvious that they genuinely care about their patients.
At Higginbottom Orthodontics, we believe that every day is something to smile about. Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Higginbottom, and along with my dad, Dr. Mark Higginbottom, and my brother, Dr. Kyle Higginbottom, we invite you to choose us first for all of your orthodontic needs. We have over 50 years of experience in treating your family like our family with braces, clear braces, and Invisalign services for all ages. Schedule your free initial consultation today. Flexible payment options are available, and to find out more about our office, please visit us online at HigginbottomOrthodontics.com or call our office at 410-822-3626 and see how we can help you smile with style.
It's Overtime Live with Mike Bradley, the only show on the shore covering high school football in the Bayside Conference here on 94.3 Winks FM and sfmsports.net.
At 10:27 the time, and joining us on the coach's line from the Queen Anne's County Lions, head coach Donnie Grave. And coach, thanks for joining us. I know a long trip to Georgetown, Delaware tonight, and I don't know if you're still on the way back, but hopefully safe travels here.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, so still on the road. Coach, we knew this one was going to be a tough one, and certainly commend you for playing a tough non-conference opponent in Central. Now, last year it was a game I think you won by 26, took advantage of a lot of turnovers that Sussex Central had, and really came away with a win that I think surprised a lot of people, not that didn't expect you to necessarily win, but just thought it would be a closer game with SC. You go on the road for this one, and early on, both teams not scoring. Defense seems to be the theme of the game. But then things start to change. They get a couple of big offensive plays, and it just seemed to domino from there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. First quarter was well-played quarter defensively by both teams. Then the turnover ball kind of kicked in for us, and Sussex Central took full control of the game for the first half anyway.
Coach, your offense has been on fire. We've talked about quarterback Mike DeAngelo, but the first half, just 1 of 5 for 10 yards. What did they do to shut down the passing game?
Pass rush gave us a lot of trouble. Mike didn't have much time to set his feet. And again, I would just, if I could pinpoint anything, again, it would be the pass rush by Sussex Central as far as how it affected Mike. A lot of scrambling out of the pocket and things like that. They played well, pass defense well, too, because when Mike did get out of the pocket, and there wasn't a lot of open receivers. So they played well. We didn't get the job done, and hopefully we'll get better by next week.
Now, defensively, you know, in today's high school football game, 27 points can be viewed at by some teams as not that bad of a defensive performance, given some of these spread offenses putting up 40-some points a game. But for Queen Anne's County, obviously, 27 is a lot. Defensively, talk about Sussex Central offensively against your defense.
I thought really defensively, overall, we played pretty well. And that might not sound like it, giving up 27 points, but there was really 4 or 5 big plays that they got. I think the first touchdown, it was maybe 3rd and 15 or 3rd and 20, and kind of had him backed up a little bit, and the kid broke off like an 80-yard touchdown run and kind of cut back against the grain, and we had maybe 1 or 2 missed tackles, and he just took it the rest of the way. But it was just a game of big plays by them, mistakes by us, and we got to give Sussex Central credit. It's a really good football team, and I just wish we would have played a little bit better.
I think, Coach, it was about 9 minutes left of the fourth quarter. You guys stopped them on fourth down. It was a turnover on downs at the Sussex Central 40, but then you had a snap fumble and gave it right back to them. And at that point, it looked like any momentum you had built up, because it was 27-14. You had a couple of scores in that one that any chance of coming back to try and tie the game and maybe send it into overtime went away after that turnover.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would 27-14, and like you said, we had the ball. I think we'd gotten a couple first downs, and maybe 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, and just a little mix-up, I guess, between Mike and the fullback, and we fumbled the ball, and they recovered. But, we had visions of coming back and winning the game 28-27, but it just didn't materialize. Again, just
too many mistakes along with a very good team. And we, you know, the kids knew going into it that, you know, we're playing one of the better teams on our schedule. And whoever has the most turnovers probably is going to lose this football game. And that was us.
How many turnovers did you have tonight, Coach?
I think it was either three or four. I know three fumbles right off the top of my head, but it seemed like to me it was even more. So it might have been four. But, you know, we have to learn from it, value the ball a little bit better, and hopefully it'll be better next week.
Coach, coming into the game, I know last week Sussex Central played Interboro from Pennsylvania, and Interboro coming in, I believe, was 3-0. They were a 4A team, and Sussex Central loses 20-16. Interboro primarily ran the football, but coming into the game, what was your biggest concern against the Golden Knights?
I think probably their size was what probably worried me the most. Most teams that we play, I think we're as big, if not a little bit bigger, than the team that we're playing against, but the first thing that's going to jump out at you when you see Sussex Central is, you know, you got a D tackle that's probably 330 pounds. You got another one's about 285 that can really move. And they just have some kids with some good size. And I think offensively, we just didn't move the ball on the ground like we normally do. And I think that was part of the reason why. And plus, they got good athletes on the perimeter that could really run to the ball. So those are probably things that,
We're talking with head coach Donnie Grafe of Queen Anne's County. They fall to Sussex Central by a final score of 29-14. A late safety in the game for Central to add a couple of more points in that one. Well, Coach, we take a look at these kind of games. You know, Kent Island played Elkton a few weeks ago, a good 2A non-conference opponent. You guys play Sussex Central for the second straight year. But these are the kind of games. I know you're already a couple of games into the Bayside Conference, but these are the kind of games that get you ready for like a Kent Island at the end of the year. And it's also a good litmus test as well for the kids, and some bragging rights on the line as well. And it's good to see these kind of games take place. I wish more of them happen. Maybe a few less conference games. I'd love to see a few more of these type games. Coach, I lost you a little bit there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's not going to do anything. We'll take us better. It's third, four from the ball. Can't win. So yeah, hopefully, it's just a bad hold of that. We'll be better next week.
You kind of went into the background there, Coach. I don't know if you made any change with your phone or anything like that.
Just out of different areas here.
All right. Well, Coach, we appreciate your time. And, safe travels back to Centerville, and we will talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. That's head coach Donnie Grafe joining us on the coaches line as they fall 29-14, the final. So you heard it. They've, you know, Central, good team. They've got some athletes, defensive line. You've got nose tackle over 300 pounds, another guy at 280. Their offensive line is fairly big as well. And the turnovers in the game hurt. The one thing, too, that Central has, but Queen Anne's has as well, is a lot of returning starters from last year, although Central with a new quarterback. And also running back by committee, Kendrick Knox, one of those guys. DeAndre Sturgis, who was a transfer from Indian River to Sussex Central last year, was one of the best in Delaware. He's since graduated, so they're doing it by committee at SC. But nonetheless, they get it done tonight. And again, a very crowded 2A East, division. And that's a good thing if you're a fan or you're an analyst in the media like myself. We're loving this. So Queen Anne's at 3-1, North Carolina at 3-1, Easton at 3-1, Kent Island, the only 4-0 team left in the Bayside. 10:35 the time, we roll along and we'll try and catch up with as many coaches as we can between now and, I guess, about 11 o'clock. Keep it here.
Preston Ford will be competing again this year to be one of the top 100 Ford dealers in the nation. The goal has been set, but we can't do it without you. 0% financing for 72 months has been extended on Ford's favorites. Get the built Ford Tough 2016 Ford F-150 for just $20,995. The 2017 Ford Fusion is just $18,995. Plus, all this month, you get a tie-dye frog to support childhood cancer awareness. Don't miss the top 100 sales drive only at Preston Ford or hop online to PrestonMotor.com.
Football season is here, and Kerry-O, where do you go for your tailgating supplies?
The only place to go, Krabby Grawls.
With locations in St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge.
We've got all your tailgating needs, Mark Potter, from Bloody Mary mixes to gourmet mustards, hot sauces, and barbecue sauces.
Everything you need to slap on your meat available at Krabby Gras.
Don't forget your bacon ketchup and your hoodies.
It's all available at Krabby Gras, St. Michael's, Crisfield, and Cambridge, and available online at KrabbyGras.com.
It's Overtime Live with analysis, interviews, and predictions covering high school football in the Bayside Conference like none other here on 94.3 Winks FM and SFMSports.net.
All right, 10:36 on the OTL, and joining us on the coaches line now, head coach of the Eastern Warriors improving to 3-1 with a 31-7 win over J.M. Bennett, head coach Matt Griffith. Coach, congratulations, and the 2A East continues to be quite interesting to say the least, as I was talking to Coach McCormick a few minutes ago. Tonight, Hartford Tech upset by Perryville, who was winless coming into the game. So they lose a game, which certainly helps. But you got a crowded 2A East with Queen Anne's losing tonight. Kent Island, the only 4-0 team. So obviously keeping up with the Joneses, if you will, important, and you get it done tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah, it was a good game. Homecoming for us this week, had a lot of distractions. A little concern going into tonight's game, and the kids rebounded well and played pretty darn good.
They certainly did. And, of course, Mason Ledford continues to have a really good season. And he strikes early with T.J. Nixon, a 43-yard touchdown pass. He also had one to Brandon Booz, a 1-yard touchdown run as well. So he got in on the action. Zach Strand, the transfer who was hurt last year, with a 3-yard touchdown run in this one. And Bennett coming in, Coach, at 2-1 as well. They defeated a Nandawa squad last week who came into that game 3-0. And I know emotions were high as Natalie Inslee, sadly, who passed away in a car accident, her parents were at the game last week. So you knew you were getting a Bennett team that was going to be fairly competitive.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've seen a lot of film on them, and, you know, our kids were prepared. They got two really good running backs. Your quarterback can, get the ball downfield. They got some good receivers in number 3 and number 9. So there's a lot of athletes on the field that we were, worried about and making sure that we had accountability for tonight.
Coach, a lot of things going your way schedule-wise, a couple of home games here with Decatur and Bennett, but also 3A teams. So in terms of accumulating some extra points, that's big. Set yourself up nicely, again, through almost halfway through the year at 3-1.
You talked about it earlier, the 2A East just being very competitive and crowded. And, we're just going to worry about one game at a time, whether it's the 3A, 2A, or 1A. The most important thing is we find a way to win the game so that we can stay in this conversation. And right now, we've been fortunate enough to do that for a couple weeks in a row now.
Most certainly. And Coach, we talked about this last week with kids and distractions, and I was asking you about homecoming and what that was going to be like. And you said, hey, look, these are young kids. They have distractions all the time. So whether it's homecoming or not, we always have to deal with that. I guess the good thing is, though, especially in the 2A East, with things being as crowded and competitive as they are, it doesn't take much. You don't have to do much to get the kids ramped up and ready to go again for another week of practice, because every week now, even going back to weeks 2, 3, and 4, and this week, that is, that every game is magnified now with as many teams as competitive and in the race for the playoffs.
It is, and we try to keep that from the kids, but they're smart enough to understand what's going on and how it works. We just want them to focus on what we're trying to accomplish that week, and however it shakes out at the end of the year, it shakes out, and that's what we're dealt with. We can only control our destiny if we take one week at a time, and that's what we're focused on, and hopefully we can do it. And I was fortunate to get through this week, as there was plenty of distractions. And coaches talked before the game. We were concerned about how we warmed up and been a little different. And luckily for us, it wasn't too bad off. And they responded well with a defensive stop and then a quick score.
Coach Walter Morris steps in tonight, taking over for Emily Skoglin, who hurt her ankle earlier in the week in a soccer game. Of course, she plays soccer and kicks for you guys. He comes in tonight and has a heck of a game, even boots a field goal. You got to feel really good about that, because special teams and all over the board, even the NFL, could be problematic. And, of course, last week, the North Carolina-Kent Island game was decided by a blocked field goal.
Yeah, no, we're very fortunate. We have Emma Skoglin, Walter Morris, Brian Rooney, Johnny Perez, and Johan Perez. So we have 5, and it's the most I've ever had in all the years coaching. So they compete each week to who's going to get the first kick and the snaps from there. And Coach Cotter's done a really nice job working with them. And we're blessed to have him, and he did. He stepped in with Emma going down and did a great job for us tonight. So it was very good.
I know we gave your offense a lot of love last week, though. The defense holding Stephen Decatur to 10 points, holding Bennett tonight to 7. So that's two straight weeks that they've strung together some consistent, solid outings. Obviously, you feel good about that, but you're only as good as your last game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Defense played very well tonight. We gave up a score with 40 seconds to go in the game.
Okay.
And, you know, so, again, Bennett had a lot of weapons that were out there on the field, and our kids played extremely well tonight on defense. I was very proud. We had more sacks tonight than we've had combined for the season thus far, a couple turnovers, and, you know, we were pretty aggressive going after them. And our defensive line, we had four kids rotating in and out. They really controlled the line of scrimmage up front.
Oh, very good. And, Coach, next week, I believe, you've got Kent County. Do you travel to Kent County for that one, to Wharton?
We do. We travel on Saturday for their homecoming. I expect it to be a wild game.
Yeah, I mean, Marquon Green, who stepped in for Tyson Johnson at quarterback, and I don't know what Tyson Johnson's health situation is going to be. I know he had a sprained foot and left halfway through last week's game, but you take a look at it with all due respect to him. Marquon Green at quarterback gave Cambridge issues. He had three touchdowns tonight. That may almost be a better option, and certainly that's going to put a lot of stress on your defense.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a good option for Marquon Green playing any position on offense. He's a great athlete. I mean, wherever he's at, we're going to have to account for him. And, you know, he's accompanied by several other players that are very good athletes. And, you know, we're going to have to prep really well and have a good week of practice to try to contain him as much as possible.
Well, I guess the best defense is offense and keeping him off the field, which may mean a little bit more of the ground game than in the air, I guess, potentially.
It could, and you're absolutely right. You know, I'm not unfortunate. It's kind of our motto. We go fast on offense too, so we know that he's going to get some extra touches, and you know, we'll try to control tempo as much as possible as needed. But we just ultimately it comes down to assignment football when you play, you know, a really good athlete like that, and making sure that we gang tackle and everybody's accounted for.
Well, I guess that's a tough push-pull because a situation arises that you don't want to hold back your offense because of a player on the other side of the field necessarily that could hurt you. But at the same time, you know if you play fast and leave your defense out there for long periods of time, that could also hurt knowing the kind of player that Green is. So that's the tough decisions that you as a head coach have to make.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll probably go in with a mindset of what we want to start with, and, you know, we'll adjust it as needed throughout the game.
All right. Head coach Matt Griffith, the Eastern Warriors 3-1 and a crowded 2A East for the push for the playoffs. And, Coach, it's certainly good to see meaningful games in weeks 2 and 3 and, of course, 4 as we go forward here. And next week, the halfway point of the season.
Absolutely. You go all the way back to week 1 for us. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. You're absolutely right about that. All right. Well, Coach, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Take care. Appreciate it. 10:43 on the OTL. I just found out, by the way, that Easton had a half day today, and Coach Griffith would not let the players leave the school. He kept them at the school, had to do homework, watch movies, and fed them dinner. Very, very smart. That's what I would have done if I was a head coach. You're darn right. With young kids like that, absolutely. Yep. All right. We've got 10:44 the time. We'll try to track down a few more coaches here. It's Overtime Live. Presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus, Easton Inn and Suites. Mike Bradley coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy studios. Coming up, we'll get another look at your Pret Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard as well. Don't forget Pret Moy Therapy, providing physical therapy and sports care, the AAMC building on Kent Island. A long night on the OTL as we recap week number 4. More to come.
Harrison's Chesapeake House on Tilghman Island invites you to spend a Friday night enjoying their all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet for just $24.99. Enjoy shrimp 8 different ways, plus barbecue ribs, their famous fried chicken, hush puppies, and all of the veggies. Buddy Harrison serves up the prime rib and seafood buffet every Saturday night. Spend the day and night at Harrison's on the water on Tilghman Island. For great food, fishing trips, and fun, head to Harrison's Chesapeake House. Check them out online at ChesapeakeHouse.com.
Have a child that needs driver's ed? Maybe you need to attend the Driver's Improvement or Point System Conference class. In either case, you want to make the right choice by calling Bayside Driving School. Bayside Driving School has been locally owned and operated since 1982 and has the most experienced instructors. Driver's Ed classes start monthly in Talbot, Queen Anne, Caroline, and Dorchester. So call to reserve your spot today. For more information, call Bayside Driving School at 410-822-4411 or visit them on the web at baysidedriving.net. Make the right choice. Go Bayside.
Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has 7 big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package, too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
Back to more of Overtime Live, Maryland's only high school football sports show on game night, here on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
At 10:46 the time, and head coach Damian Ferragamo of the Cat Island Buccaneers joining us on the coach's line. Coach, appreciate you joining us at the late hour. Congratulations, winners over Stephen Decatur, 52-0. And coach, you're the lone 4-0 team in the Bayside Conference.
Oh yeah, and, you know, we're pretty fortunate. We just want to go 1-0 every week. We're fortunate enough to get a victory this week.
And coach, a long trip down to Berlin, but obviously no effects from that trip because you get off to a fast start in this one.
No, that's always tough on the Bayside. You know, they're long trips for everyone, so there's kind of built-in adversity every time you go on the road. So I was happy how our kids got off the bus and shook off the bus ride, ready to play.
Braden Doyle, what is it about this kid? Another fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
well, he recovered it, though, right? That led to a touchdown, that is?
You know what? We recovered 3 fumbles today, and for the life of me, I couldn't tell you who recovered any of them.
Okay. Well, that's what I got from Twitter, so.
Oh, that was probably correct then.
Okay.
And then he did have a 22-yard touchdown run. It might have been right after he recovered the fumble.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so he helped himself out. But, of course, he was the hero in last week of the game against North Carolina, that one 21-14, where your defense and special teams certainly played a big part in you guys getting out to a 3-0 start. But tonight, your offense certainly came to fruition. And, Coach, you have been very honest in the papers and the media with us, et cetera, that your offense isn't where you needed to be. You talked about needing to be more physical, more downhill, and more consistent. And usually you're not used to hearing that from Kent Island squads, but going through some growing pains. But tonight, do you feel like you took a necessary step forward?
Yeah, and it helps tonight. Braden Doyle, I think he had a few carries tonight. He was hurt for our first 2 games of the season and really wasn't ready to carry the ball in our third. Coming off week of practice, so he was an exclusively defensive football player. So he adds an element to our team, some breakaway speed and some big playability. Maybe it's a blessing in disguise that we have some other guys now we trust to carry the football. But he adds a spark to us and, hopefully there's good things for him to come with him in the backfield.
And Coach, talk about your offensive line tonight. Do you see some things that in a positive light that you may not have seen in the previous weeks?
Well, yeah, I mean, they did a good job tonight. And this is our fourth game. This is our fourth different combination of offensive linemen in different positions and different kids playing due to a few circumstances, some injuries. Some just, kids beating out other kids for spots, and there's been a lot of competition, which is always good. But we definitely need to be physical as an offensive line. We did better today, but we need to improve as time goes on.
Now, Coach, you talked about the fourth week with different combinations on the offensive line and, of course, injuries, as you just talked about, necessitating some of that. But do you feel in the next week or two you're going to be able to get something solidified? Because clearly going to the second half, as a coach, you'd like to know what you have and put those guys out on a consistent basis so they can get some chemistry with each other.
You know what? I certainly hope so. That's the plan the whole time. You'd like to have your guys that you can lean on, but every week, everything is a competition. So, those kids come in Monday knowing that if they don't come to practice, they don't show what they can do Monday through Thursday, that somebody else is going to be out there Friday. So I think that's a good thing as well.
Sure. Well, competition is a good thing, no question. And if one kid beats out the other, even if that kid was a starter the previous week, then so be it. Obviously, defensively, Coach, you continue having a really solid season with shutting out Stephen Decatur. And tonight, no difference there. So, I mean, that's been an area, obviously, defense and special teams really carried you guys through most of the year.
Absolutely. Our defense was once again fantastic tonight.
So, you know, it's something we count on. We lean on our defense, special teams a lot. We put a lot of practice into our special teams and defense. So, it's not a surprise. It's a great luxury to have, a defense that can shut somebody down.
You know, I was just talking with head coach Matt Griffith about how crowded the 2A East is and that it doesn't take a lot, at least it shouldn't take a lot, to get the kids motivated to come out to practice on Mondays, given the crowded field of things. But taking a look, you guys are one better than everybody in the Bayside at 4-0, but that's certainly got to be a help that you guys are one game better. And if anything now that you have that advantage, even more of a even more of a boost, if you will, to keep on doing as best as you possibly could do, because now you have the advantage over everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's 2A East. I'd argue it's the most competitive region in the entire state of Maryland. And, I tell you, the Bayside doesn't get a lot of respect statewide, but I tell you what, there's a whole lot of good teams in that 2A East. And, you see that we play people across the midget. We played Elton, which is another great football team. I don't think we get the credit we deserve. And there's going to be good teams who are staying home in the playoffs in the 2A East because it's just so talented right now.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got, of course, you guys are 4-0, but you've got North Carolina. Is it 3-1? Queen Anne's lost tonight to Sussex Central. They're 3-1. Easton wins tonight. They're 3-1. Parkside wins tonight. They're 3-1. Elk did one. They're 3-1. Harford Tech did get beat by Perryville, who was winless. So that's a help to the Eastern Shore teams. But I we talked about this, Coach, a few weeks ago, but I love to see you guys playing Elkton. I love to see Queen Anne's playing Sussex Central. And frankly, if I had my druthers, there would be less conference games and the ability to play maybe one more non-conference game. But I love to see those good matchups, and especially as it directly impacts the 2A East, for instance, with you guys playing Elkton.
Absolutely. You know what? We have an open date next year as well, and people think we'd love to keep playing Elkton. We'd love to play Falston. I think it's important to play against the people you're competing for spots against. Because, if you can't beat them, then you don't deserve to be in the playoffs in the first place. So, we would love to have that competition with the other 2A East teams who are out of conference. Just, those bye weeks have to match up. So a lot of the stuff is out of some people's control.
Most certainly. Coach, who do you guys have next week?
We are Wye High.
Okay, Wye High, and they come to Kent Island, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, they do. Yes,
okay.
They do.
That's supposed to be our Overtime Live Friday Night Lights game of the week. Now, Wye High, we talked with Coach McCormick just a little bit ago as well, and he talked about the fact that on tape he could see that the triple option offense that they run has gotten better for week one to week four, and I talked about the fact that I guess I'd rather face it earlier in the year than later in the year, presuming somewhat that they're obviously getting better and more comfortable as the weeks go on.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen some film of them. They're doing some great things there. And if the option, if you run it correctly and you're committed to it, it's a real tough offense to stop. So we know we have a challenge next week. We haven't played a true option team in a long time since I've been in Kent Island, not a true option team.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other animal. It's a different style, but it should be fun.
Well, I was making mention, I think the last time the option was run in the Bayside was in 2007 when Brendan Riley, who was then the offensive coordinator of Parkside, was running it. But then they changed the next year when he became head coach to a spread. But that's the last time. And then previous to that, I couldn't tell you exactly. I know Cambridge ran a lot of option in the 90s here. But, it's not an offense you see a whole lot of anymore.
Yeah, and like I said, if you run it correctly, it is a pain in the tail to stop. So, we have our work cut out for us, and I'm sure our guys will be ready, but, we're looking forward to the challenge.
All right, well, Coach, congratulations. The lone undefeated team in the Bayside of 4-0. Kent Island winners over Stephen Decatur tonight. And, Coach, have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. 10:55 on the OTL. We'll take a timeout. Going to try to catch up with David Inslee, the Star Democrat, and get his take. He was at the North Carolina Wye High game tonight, but we'll get his take at the Bayside Conference after week number four. 10:55 on the OTL. Keep it here.
Matt, look out for that skunk. I didn't even see that until you said something. Here, try these. What a difference. No glare. That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415.
We're talking with physical therapist Rick Perrette from Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates in the Adirondack Medical Center in Kent Island. Tell me a little bit about what services you guys provide.
We're an office that provides occupational, speech, physical therapy. We have an athletic trainer and a wellness program. We provide these services for pediatrics and for adults.
So let's say I'm having some neck or back pain. How do I end up in your office?
A lot of insurance companies require referrals from your primary care or doctors, but with Maryland law, we can see you directly. Best way is to call our office at 410-604-2982, and we can get you the answer.
That's Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates with a state-of-the-art facility in the AAMC building just off Route 50 in Kent Island. Here's what your friends and neighbors are saying about Higginbottom Orthodontics.
The doctors and their staff are amazing, always pleasant and professional, and explain everything thoroughly to my children. It's obvious that they genuinely care about their patients.
At Higginbottom Orthodontics, we believe that every day is something to smile about. Hi, I'm Dr. Eric Higginbottom, and along with my dad, Dr. Mark Higginbottom, and my brother, Dr. Kyle Higginbottom, we invite you to choose us first for all of your orthodontic needs. We have over 50 years of experience in treating your family like our family, with braces, clear braces, and Invisalign services for all ages. Schedule your free initial consultation today. Flexible payment options are available, and to find out more about our office, please visit us online at HigginbottomOrthodontics.com or call our office at 410-822-3626 and see how we can help you smile with style.
Fall savings at Ben Franklin Crafts. Save 33% off all fall bushes, fall ribbon bolts, creativity for kids box kits, and Winsor & Newton artist oils. Save 40% off all fall scarecrows, Gamelin artist oils, and sweet beads charms. Save 50% off all custom framing orders. Create, embellish, just add imagination. Ben Franklin Crafts, Easton Plaza, Marlboro Road, Easton.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-261-8242 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-261-8242. That's 800-261-8242. 800-261-8242. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
A Spa Guard spa is clearly the work of experts, and it's easy to be that expert with a good system that delivers clarity, convenience, and confidence. No matter which you choose, all of Spa Guard's comprehensive spa care systems put the pleasure back into your spa with premium products that cover everything from sanitizers and shocks to conditioners and fragrances. It's all in there, ready to use, simple to follow, and easy to maintain. That's what makes it a Spa Guard system. Visit Aqua Pools and Spas in Easton or online at aqua74.com today to learn more about the right system for your spa and become the clear expert in your neighborhood.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's, Easton, Maryland's only high school football show on game night, is Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx-FM. The games are over, the lights are off, and the crowds have gone home. But we are just getting started. It's time to analyze the games, hear from the coaches, and look ahead to next week in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, just about 11 o'clock on the Mid Shore, covering Bayside Conference football. Joining us from the Star Democrat on the Newsmaker line, David Inslee. David, good evening to you. I guess late at night.
Yeah, something like that. I'm just hoping the call doesn't get dropped because the cell signal here at my house is terrible. Thanks, Mariah.
All right. Well, if we do, we'll call you right back on your landline.
Okay. I wish I had one.
Oh, I did have a landline for you.
Yeah, my phone number's changed more than a pro football player over the last few years.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's that protective custody thing, I guess, or what do you call it? I don't know. Whatever.
don't want to discuss that without my attorney present.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, anyway, David, tonight you were at the North Carolina Y-High game. Tate Potts left the game with a knee injury. They said it's precautionary, but then talking to Coach McCormick, he didn't necessarily sound like that he knew that there wasn't something wrong.
Right. I mean, everybody's going to do their best Bill Belichick impression when, you know, one of their kids is hurt, and rightly so, because you don't want to misdiagnose somebody as being well, have them go out and get hurt, or misdiagnose them as being hurt when they're actually not either, you know, because that might actually just, it would be that one time, you know, that a college recruiter is listening, well, oh, shoot, well, he's torn his ACL, and then it turns out it's not true, but the chances still exist.
Well, that could certainly be a big blow. Now, the good news is you still have David Bailey back there. You have Zy Rochester sat off. I mean, he runs it at fullback. But you lose some depth there, though, no question. And could that affect North Carolina going forward? You know, potentially, sure. I mean, he had two touchdowns to start the game tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he had a very good first half. And then when he went out, I didn't see the exact, you know, the instance where he got hurt and went out, but he was in a knee brace from, you know, they covered the majority of his leg and on crutches. So if they're taking precautions, they're taking a lot of them. And, you know, like I said, rightly so. I'm hoping there's nothing wrong with him. I feel like I've already jinxed Emma Scoglin. The first time I went to see her play this year, she got hurt. And, you know, that's a 3 to 8 week injury, I think, is what she told me Thursday when I saw her in another game.
Oh, is that right? Okay, so she's pretty much done for the football season then.
Well, 3 to 8 weeks. I mean, in theory, she could be back, for week six.
Well, I guess I'm sorry. That's worst case scenario. That is, yeah, okay, but yeah, so she'd be back potentially late in the year.
Yeah, odds are you're not going to see her next week or the week after, but anytime after that, she may be able to come back. And it's all, you know, the body's a funny thing. It can take, you know, a couple of weeks to heal. It could be a little worse than that. I can remember in 2005 when Ben Tate turned his ankle in week four against Poolsville. Of course, he didn't really get any weeks off after that except one time, and it just never fully healed over the next 10 weeks.
Well, the coach Griffith was saying he's got like 4 or 5 other kickers. Walter Moore stepped up tonight, did a great job, even had a 17-yard field goal. So right now they're in good stead. But obviously Emma won the job and had been kicking consistently for a couple of weeks there. So they're down to they're down to their second guy, I guess you could say, or their first guy, but second kicker, that is.
Yeah, of all the places to have depth, I find it actually quite amazing that Easton has that kicker. It's great. It's great to have, you know, but it's just a rare thing. I mean, North Carolina in particular, their special teams over the years, you know, last week, amazingly fluky finish, and the game where they played against Easton a couple years ago where both teams scored 4 touchdowns, but North Carolina couldn't kick a point after, ended up losing 28-24. Special teams are truly special, and to have depth there, I mean, that's worth 3 or 4 points a game.
That's huge. Now, no surprise tonight, North Carolina beating Wicomico. Just quick question. What did you think of Wicomico's triple option? Does that look like they could be something really really potent by the end of the year, or maybe we're looking at it next year? But your thoughts on what you saw?
Well, having seen them week one against CSD, they've been viable in both weeks. And the problem is they just don't seem to have enough running backs
mm-hmm.
that are true options in that. Mm-hmm. They've got a couple of kids plus Patterson, the quarterback. And I mentioned that to Brian Hansen after the game, and he said, well, he's got a kid who's a 6'1" sophomore who's a little over 200 pounds, but he tore, did he say a labrum or something? I forget what it was. He tore something,
mm-hmm.
and he's just not going to be on the team this year, but next year he's looking like, and he compared him favorably, he actually compared him very favorably, as in he thought he was better than David Bailey. So if that's true, that could be interesting because, you know, if they see each other next year, he'd be a junior, and David Bailey would, of course, be a senior, so We'll see if he can run as much as Brian can talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Wicomico's defense still has something to be desired for, but we'll see next year with them. And I've never been enamored with Patterson, to be quite honest with you. But anyway, when you take a look at the 2A East, Dave, boy, I mean this is such a crowded field. Especially when you throw in the Western Shore teams as well. Elkton won tonight. They're 3-1. Now, Hartford Tech was upset by Perryville, who was winless. A 1A beating a 2A there. And it just gets crowded. Queen Anne's loses tonight to Sussex Central, and they turned over the ball, 4 or 5 times, which is very rare for them, but a very crowded field. And I know that North Carolina, you know, that loss to Kent Island still stings, and you know, if there's a tie, Kent Island's going to get the better of the two, but tonight certainly helps with a couple of those teams losing.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I think with Perryville, I'm starting to wonder if maybe they had some ineligible kids early in the season and they got them all back this week. That was my first thought. don't know if that's the case because, you know, that does happen occasionally.
Yeah, well, they're 0-3, though, going into the game tonight, though.
Yeah, that was actually the joke about Washington High back in the 80s, the 90s, Courtney Neal Lambert. He said that Washington was always good until Grade Check. And then they weren't afterwards. That's not the case anymore. Grades don't affect the team's personnel levels a whole lot. They did have some injections affect them last week, and I hear that there were two up at the CSD Kent game today.
Well, head coach Brendan Ironton said that he did not have a player ejected, but they took him off the field because I think he punched a teammate. I believe that's what I heard. I'm going to have to get clarification on that.
Oh, okay. Well, then my mistake. Sorry.
But I think Cambridge may have. So we'll have to see. I we need to sort that all out. That game was long. It had so much in it. I'll just say this. Kent County, I give them credit. They came out and they played hard. They with a 14-0 lead. Marquon Green, a quarterback, has probably an upgrade there in just in terms of the threats that he can put towards the defense. And Kent County looked like a team determined. And after 24 straight times and after last year, you're thinking, you know, forget it. Kent County's best chance was last year. But then tonight, it just seemed like with the Cambridge mistakes, whether they came to play or not, and you credit Kent County with the way they came out, you're thinking, of all times, could this be the week or the year, I should say, that Kent County upsets Cambridge? It was looking that way, but then things changed after Cambridge got on the board and they had the onside kick and they recovered it. Tyler Harding, the kicker, recovered it.
Yeah, from what I understand, right after Kent County went up 14-0, they ran a total of one offensive play but gave up three touchdowns in the next few minutes of game time. Mm, yeah. So just a crazy swing there in favor of CSD. And when I saw the score was 14-0, I was in the press box at Y High with Kyle Dahlberg, who's dating Jess Booz, who's the trainer at the CSD game. He texted her about a half hour after I heard that, and she said it was 20-14 us, meaning Cambridge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, is that a final? And of course, this was at 8:45. And that game went another hour and 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah, 25 straight times now? Cambridge has defeated Kent County, is that right?
Yeah, Kent County beat them early, and I believe it was the 1995 season, and then Cambridge beat them in the playoffs that year, and that was when the string began.
Mm. Is that the longest winning streak in the Bayside over one team over another?
Of teams that have played each other that much, it may well be.
Yeah.
I can think of another one where there's been, you know, where they played each other that heavily. Like, you know, when I was looking at Queen Anne against Washington, Washington actually beat Queen Anne back in 2003. But they've only played 8 times in the 35-odd years that we have records of it. So it depends on, you know, your classification, so on and so forth. Because there was a time when Queen Anne, of course, was 4A, and they played virtually nobody from the Eastern Shore.
Taking a look tonight in Federalsburg, Colonel Richardson lost to Parkside 42-0. And for Parkside, their loss to Easton just made things that much more difficult for them. This was a must-win game. Pretty much every game is going to be a must-win. Right. Very difficult for them, and the chances of them beating North Carolina, and I believe they play either North Carolina, or excuse me, either Kent Island or Queen Anne's, maybe all three. I have to double-check, but it's going to be very difficult to do, but it was a must-win. But you look at Colonel, I just don't think it seems like offensively that they just lost too much, and we talked to Coach Magnum last week. It just seems like that chance of winning 4 games and maybe going to the playoffs, it's going to be awfully difficult to do. Not impossible, though, but Washington, for instance, has 2 wins, so they already have a win up over them.
Right, yeah, and Colonel has not played Washington yet, as I recall. So when they do take it wrong, right now I'm going to have to go ahead and lean towards Washington on that one.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Yeah, that's a team that's improved and has some experience. And should be interesting if the Jags get in. I know Colonel has a couple of Eastern Shore teams to play in Nando and Arcadia, so that'll help. And I think they would be a favorite against Arcadia and maybe a toss-up in Nando. But nonetheless, right now, I'm not sure Colonel can repeat what they did last year. Clearly, offensively, they're not.
Yeah, I'm thinking of trying to get the Cambridge-Nando game just because I've not seen Nando play since 2003.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to mix it up a little bit. But I think the game of the week, and if you would, please lean on Potter about this. I think your best game overall next week would probably be Easton at Kent County. But is that a Saturday?
Yeah, it's a Saturday game, and that's problematic for us for a number of different reasons, including I can't work it because I've got Maryland football duties. So
right. Plus, you know, Mark is busy on Saturdays with, you know, I think he's in charge of a polka band or something.
Yeah, so we have issues there. By the way, just quickly with Colonel, they scored, what, 62 points when they defeated Snow Hill? And going back to 1980, that's the most points that you could find in your records. Are you going to go to Federalsburg, to the library, and check the rest of those yearbooks going back to 62?
Well, I guess you know what my plans are for the next week. Yeah, I'm probably going to head over actually to the Colonel Library and hope that the yearbooks that they have there have some accurate information. And if there are any high school kids listening right now who are on your yearbook staff, do us sports wags a favor. Put every score of every sport in your yearbook. A few years ago, I went to Chris Field to look up the history of their girls' basketball program because they went 8 years at one point without a win. They didn't have a single sports score in four or five of those yearbooks.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, but that's your due diligence that you're going to need to learn if you do take journalism in school. You need to keep your information in there. Keep it wired tight because you never know when some fat guy with a weird look on his face is going to come into your library and say, hey, I need your basketball score.
Yeah. No, I hear you. David, quickly, as we wrap things up, no surprise that Kent Island blew out Stephen Decatur 52-0. They're the lone undefeated team in the conference. I still feel, though, that Queen Anne's, even though they lost tonight to Sussex Central, I still feel like Queen Anne's is better simply because I think they've got a better passing game, which means their offense is more well-rounded, and I think their offensive line is in better shape. Kent Island, between injuries and competition, they've had four different sets of line combinations. Hopefully that'll get solidified for Coach Ferragamo, but those are still my feelings, and I'm still likely to rank Queen Anne's number one over Kent Island this coming week, but I wanted to get your thoughts on both teams.
Yeah, I was thinking about that on the way home, actually, from the Lehigh game, and I think I'm actually going to have to put Kent Island first with a 1A, 1B thing because there's very, very small of a gap between those two teams. But right now, I think Kent Island is the team to beat in the conference, not just because they're the only undefeated team, but because I don't think they played their best game today, and they still hung 52 points on Decatur. Now, granted, Decatur's having a bad, bad year.
Yeah.
But I just have a funny feeling right now. And also, there's one other little tidbit. One of my spies emailed me something from Max Preps, and Max Preps is big on extrapolating things. And we're 6 weeks from the end of the season, and anything could happen, you know. But the way Max Preps has already extrapolated it, assuming their higher-ranked team beats the lower-ranked team in the head-to-head games, they've actually plotted out Kent Island as being Kent Island, the one seed, the 2A East at the end of the regular season.
Oh, well. I would agree to disagree with them on that, but we'll certainly see how things play out with that. You certainly could argue, though, with Kent Island's non-conference win against Elkton, that at 4-0 they deserve to be number one. My argument is Sussex Central this week was a much better opponent than Stephen Decatur, so I'm not going to penalize Queen Anne's for that. But Kent Island won their non-conference game. So, again, Kent Island fans, you can knock me for probably keeping Queen Anne's at number one. I guess I could do a tie like I've done with Easton and Cambridge at number four this year in my poll. So I guess I could do that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way. I mean, you know, it's the old theoretical argument. We could both say this one, that one, the other one. And, you know, in week 10, we'll find out for sure. Week 9, we'll probably find out for sure because that's when North Carolina goes to Queen Anne's County. And if North Carolina beats them and then Queen Anne's beats Kent Island, I'm going to probably need more ibuprofen because that was pretty terrible. I'm robbing of this one beat that one, who beat this one, who beat that one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely, and let's not forget Easton in there as well. I think what I'm going to be interested in next week, though, David, Easton and Kent County, it is a Saturday game, is I don't think there's any question that Easton's going to put up points and they could run and they could throw the football, but defensively, you know, Cambridge had their issues with Marquand Green, gave up three touchdowns to them. If Green starts at quarterback again, what that does to the Easton defense and playing at home and coming off a loss the way they did, you just wonder, is that a game that potentially the Easton team upset them last year? Could Kent return the favor at home this year?
Very well. Very well, very much could. I mean, it's that game right now. I would have to lean toward Easton. Just something tells me that that's what I'm going to hear from the guys in the basement when I talk to them tomorrow morning.
I would agree with you. Right now, early prognostications is I would lean Easton, but I'd also say that I could see a path to Kent County winning that game.
Oh, absolutely. I think that Kent County has every possibility of it's not a game they can't win. I'm definitely going to say that. It's a game they very much can win. But right now, I would say I'm about 52-48 favor of Easton in terms of percentages in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, David, as we wrap things up, anything else before we let you go?
No, I just want to say I really hope that Tay Potts' knee isn't as bad as I fear it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to get out and see Emma Scotland kick some PATs. I hate hearing about kids getting injured because my son fell off of a go-kart in a freak accident back in April. My 17-year-old broke his upper femur. We had to spend a day and a half at shock trauma. So whenever you're hit in the hospital, whether it's minor or major, it's never a pleasant thing. So my heart goes out to him.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I wanted to share real quickly on Twitter? So Mitchell Northrup from the Daily Times had put up that one of the Cambridge players from the early 90s had, I think, the most scores, 63, between 91 and 93, and that Marquand Green's got 62. And one of the coaches had said congratulations to holding the record, but no, he's one short right now, I believe, is my understanding. Or is he tied with him?
Did he come into the game with 62, or did he come into the game?
Yeah, I have to double-check that now. Yep. Well, it's something to look at. We'll get it straight now. But if that should be the case that he's tied or has the lead, if he does it now, he will. We know that. He will next week.
Yeah, he's definitely got a very good shot at it next week.
That's impressive.
You know, that might be another one of those, what was it, 8-7 last year or something like that? Mm-hmm.
It was. In the rain, although I think King County disputes the two-point conversion. So.
I've seen footage of that, and I've disputed two if I have.
All right, David, as always, thank you. How can folks find you online? By the way, you do the From the Bleachers, and you do your picks sometimes earlier in the week than what I do.
Yeah, I tend to write mine Monday because we have several weekly papers, two in Queen Anne's, one in Caroline, one in Dorchester, that I write it early in the week. That way everybody can use it because some of the small papers don't pay Associated Press dues, so they can't use the AP copy. So I try to help them fill their sports sections by writing that earlier in the week.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, David, as always, thank you. It's a pleasure, and we look forward to talking next week.
Yeah, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Appreciate it. David Inslee there with the Star Democrat joining us on the hotline, the newsmaker line at 11:17 on the OTL. Timeout. We're back to wrap things up next for week number 4 in the Bayside Conference.
Attention contractors, Supplies Unlimited of Del Marva and Baltimore can provide you with a full line of gypsum products and accessories for your residential and commercial projects. So whether you need wallboard, sheathing, metal framing, or insulation, Supplies Unlimited is the place for you. Need doors or frames? Yes, they do those too. Supplies Unlimited and Baltimore Door and Frame have been serving Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware for over 30 years. Prompt delivery is available, so don't delay and place your next order with Supplies Unlimited and Baltimore Door and Frame. Call 1-800-938-2294 or visit SuppliesUnlimitedInc.com.
Chincheck Sports Locker is the place to go for all of your local sports team spirit wear. Located at the Tread Avon Square on Marlboro Road, Chincheck Sports Locker offers custom-made spirit wear using sublimation, screen printing, and embroidery. Need team uniforms or sports equipment? Chincheck Sports Locker now carries Under Armour. Chincheck Sports Locker is also your one-stop shop for lacrosse gear. And Chincheck Sports Locker isn't just for sports teams. Get that team spirit for your business, too. Check out Chincheck Sports SportsLocker.com or find them on Facebook. To place your orders, call Chincheck Sports Locker at 443-239-0178. Chincheck Sports Locker, now located at the Tread Avon Square by Acme on Marlboro Road in Easton.
Easton Cycle and Sport features more than just two wheels. Paddleboarding is the new craze, and Easton Cycle and Sport has just what you're looking for. Want to relax on the water? Easton Cycle and Sport also has canoes and kayaks. Make Easton Cycle and Sport your destination for cycling, paddling, and lacrosse. Stop by and check the great selection at 723 Goldsboro Street in Easton or call 410-822-7433.
Sport Clips. America's haircut place for men and boys boldly asks, who invented the demolition derby? Man, yes, guys live their life a little differently. At Sport Clips, guys find sports on TV, a relaxing neck and shoulder massage, our legendary hot steam towel, and a haircut that always looks great. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, with locations in Easton, Kent Island, Salisbury, and coming soon to Cambridge. Visit sportclips.com.
The Edge Training Academy is your one-stop shop for all your training goals. Whether you're looking to improve the way you feel, to improving your on-field performance, the Edge Training Academy is the place for you. What can the Edge do for you? Here are what some of our clients are saying.
The Edge has definitely made me a stronger, faster, and smarter athlete.
Developed me into an athlete like no other.
It's just created monumental change in not only my physical play, but
my attitude as well.
Yeah, Training Academy is located at 220 Law Canoe Circle in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park in Stevensville. For more information, check us out online at theedgetrainingacademy.com or call us at 443-249-3133.
On your own, you have limits, and Coach Willie and his staff push you well beyond those to let you reach new heights that you didn't even know you were capable of.
The Edge Training Academy, where passion meets performance.
Ready, willing, and able to serve you. Since 1919, homeowners in Talbot, Dorchester, Caroline, and Queen Anne's counties have relied on Meitzer Petroleum to keep their heating and cooling systems trouble-free. From their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee and a no-run-out policy to ensure your peace of mind, to a full range of oil heat, commercial fuel, and propane services, the team at Meitzer Petroleum takes pride in providing all of your heating and air conditioning needs. When it comes to choosing services for your home or business, go with a name you can trust. Call Meitzer Petroleum today at 410-822-4335 or visit them online at MeitzerPetroleum.com.
Football season is here, and Cario, where do you go for your tailgating supplies?
The only place to go, Krabby Grawls.
With locations in St. Michael's, Chrisfield, and Cambridge.
We've got all your tailgating needs, Mark Potter, from Bloody Mary mixes to gourmet mustards, hot sauces, and barbecue sauces.
Everything you need to slap on your meat available at Krabby Grawls.
Don't forget your bacon ketchup and your hoodies.
It's all available at Krabby Grawls, St. Michael's, Chrisfield, and Cambridge, and available online at KrabbyGrawl.com.
From the Queen Anne's County Lions to the Cambridge South Dorchester Vikings, we have football covered in the Bayside Conference. It's Overtime Live on your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM and sfmsports.net.
All right, 11:22 on the OTL, Maryland's only high school football show on game night. All up and down the Eastern Shore at 94.3 on your FM tuner. Even portions of the Western Shore got a great signal there as well. Cecil, Harford counties, and parts of Baltimore. Worldwide and streaming, sfmsports.net. Of course, you could also download the sfmsports.net app as well for your smartphone. I just did that the other day, actually, for my Android. Good for your Android or your iPhone, so you can check things out there as well. And so we wrap up a busy night, a game that went almost 4 hours, Cambridge and Kent County. We'll get your Pret and Moy Therapy Associate Scoreboard update in just a second. And we're going to let you know later this week, and we'll do it via Facebook on our Overtime Live, I should say, Facebook page. We'll let you know what we're going to do about the game on Friday, because there are a lot of good games on Saturday. We simply cannot do it from a logistics standpoint with our schedules. And I've got Maryland football that I do for the Maryland Football Terrapins Network on Saturdays. So I'm out. I cannot do it. And Mark's got stuff going on. I'm not sure about Coach Beecraft, but it just makes it tough and problematic on Saturdays, that is. But Friday, we're just looking at a tough slate of games in terms of, you know, we try to get to a game that's competitive. We just don't necessarily think Kent Island hosting Wye High is going to be that competitive a game. We may still end up doing it, you know, for consistency purposes and doing it for the kids. And that's why we do this, our love of high school football and the coaches and the kids. And it makes for great community and great banter and great fodder and all sorts of good stuff. So, with that said, we'll let you know on Facebook this coming week, Overtime Live. Make sure to like it there. Don't forget, overtimelive.net. That is your access to my blogs, the What We Learn blog, which I try to usually do 9 or 10 pages of recap of what we learned from the game, summary, analysis, some opinion, all sorts of stuff there. I really enjoy it. Put a lot of time into it. I appreciate your readership of it. That's what makes it worth it. Of course, my power poll, which probably might be out a little bit early this weekend because of my schedule. So I may have that out as early as maybe tomorrow afternoon. What We Learn segment coming up on Tuesday. Usually do the picks on Friday. And then I mix in various articles from the Star Democrat, the Daily Times, and our friends there that do a good job, that cover high school football as well. So we do all that. All right. Don't forget, we need your help if you're attending a high school sports game. We want your pictures and videos. Send them to us at Overtime Live at goeaston.net or tag Mark Potter or Overtime Live in your Facebook pictures. At 11:24.
Let's take a look at your Perret & Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard. Perret & Moy Therapy Associates, providing physical therapy and sports care in the AAMC building on Kent Island.
All right, one final time. Kent Island over Stephen Decatur, 52-0. The Bucks 4-0, the lone undefeated team of the Bayside. Stephen Decatur falls to 0-4. Queen Anne suffers their first loss of the year at the hands of the Sussex Central Golden Knights from Delaware's Henlopen Conference in Georgetown, Delaware. 29-14 the final. The Lions 3-1. Sussex Central down 2-1. North Carolina proven to 3-1. 33-6 winners over Wicomico, who drops to 1-3. Easton winners over J.M. Bennett, 31-7. The Warriors now at 3-1. Bennett at 2-2. Cambridge South Dorchester, winners over Kent County in our overtime live Friday Night Lights game of the week. 42-20 the final. Cambridge at 3-1. Kent County 2-2. Parkside, 42-0 winners over Colonel Richardson. The Rams down 3-1. The Colonels 1-3. Washington, a winner over Snow Hill, 48-6. The Jags now 2-2. The Eagles fall to 0-4 on the season. A crowded 2A East with Kent Island atop at 4-0, but 3-1, Queen Anne's, North Carolina, Easton, Parkside, also Elkton. The Hartford Tech loss to Perryville tonight is huge. That helps them out, but a very crowded 2A Easton. The state playoff points come out on Tuesday, and we will post them as well at our Overtime Live Facebook page. Looking forward to seeing that. So just taking a look at tonight. No surprise in Kent Island. Queen Anne's thought that would be a closer game. I picked Queen Anne's to win. Not surprised they lost, just surprised how they lost the game. And I know the Lions, if they could do it again, it's one thing to lose, but it's another thing to lose when you're not playing your best. And I know that they feel like they could have done better. But they'll learn from it. They'll move on. It's a non-conference game, and those games are meant to improve you and get you battle-tested for the tough games in your conference. And indeed, that was accomplished tonight. North Carolina over Wicomico, that was no surprise there. Tay Potts, though, his situation injury-wise will be something we'll be monitoring, because if he's out for the rest of the year, and we don't know, but if he is, that is a major blow to the backfield, which now would have to lean more heavily on David Bailey, and not that he can't do it, but to have multiple backs back there is huge. You still have Rochester sat off, but you know Potts and... You know, Potts and Thomas are huge, huge for him. So, Bailey, I'm sorry. So to lose Potts, potentially, we'll just have to see. We'll keep an eye on that. Easton, winner over J.M. Bennett, no surprise by that, the score. The Warriors and the Trojans next week, that's going to be an interesting game. Cambridge and Kent County, you know, it seemed like early on that this was going to be the year when probably no one was giving Kent County much of a chance, with Stevie Curran having graduated, with Tyson Johnson, a scratch for this one. Marquand Green having to go into quarterback, which actually I think was beneficial to them. But with Cambridge at home, having beaten them 24 times, Cambridge off to a 2-1 start. No one was giving the Trojans much of a chance, but they fought hard. And early on, it looked like that they may surprise folks and win this game. It didn't turn out that way, though. Parkside winners over Colonel Richardson. No surprise there. Maybe the score was, but I think it's clear Colonel's not the same team on offense. And Parkside, just too many numbers, and they've got a lot of talent, and they wore down Colonel tonight, clearly. And Washington is an improved team. They certainly are, and they went over Snow Hill, no surprise there. So interesting football, exciting football, where these early weeks count maybe more than they ever have before, at least in recent memory. I want to thank all the coaches for joining us tonight. Those at the game on the field, of course, Coach Ironton and Coach Coleman, and all the coaches we talked to on the Newsmaker line. We'll try to catch up with a few more coaches next week. I wanted to talk to Coach Lisinski out of Washington. Didn't get a chance to do that. And also Coach Riley out of Parkside didn't get a chance to do that either. But we'll try and do that next week. Don't forget to tune in every week of the regular season to Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus Easton and Suites, to see who's chosen as the Overtime Live Carpool Coach of the Week. That coach will receive a free car wash at either the Easton or Salisbury location. The Carpool on Route 50 in Easton and next to the Sam's Club on Route 13 in Salisbury. I got to get my truck through there, my Trailblazer. It's got all those bugs and gnats and dirt and all that from the country roads. All right, have yourself a great and safe weekend. Again, we'll let you know what we're doing for next week's game coming up this week on Overtime Live's Facebook page, and also we'll let you know right here on 94.3 Wings FM with Mark Potter's Morning Show. Have yourself a great and safe one, and don't forget overtimelive.net, the access to my power polls and the What We Learn segment and my picks. They're all right there at 6-1 in my picks again. And I think that now I'm up to 23-5 with picks this year. And I think David Inslee's pretty darn close to that one as well. We will return to more of today's best music and possibly Nash Nights Live for just a little bit. And it'll continue into your weekend right here. 11:30 on the Midshore. That's going to do it for Maryland's only high school football show on game night, Overtime Live. Right here, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. Good night.